The readings this morning is from Matthew 1, 18 to 25, and then we'll have Luke 1, 26 to 40. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And then we have words from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country, of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. I know that God will add his blessing to those words and keep them in our heart.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning. It's good to be here. My welcome to that of Tim and to Dave earlier on as well. We're looking this morning in the story of Advent, if you like, of waiting, of thinking about Mary and Joseph. And I'm so glad we got the right readings in the end. I really did start to panic a little bit because that's not what I prepared. Oh no. This time of the year is a beautiful time of the year, isn't it? It's when we're preparing, the Advent, thinking about Christmas and the various aspects of Christmas. And this morning, I've been asked to speak particularly about Mary and Joseph. And I was thinking this morning about celebrity couples. I wonder how many celebrity couples maybe you could think of. Maybe William and Kate. as they've just been in America, or Harry and Meghan maybe. Maybe David and Victoria Beckham, Posh and Becks, something like that. Maybe on the other hand, Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz. Or if we're older, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. And see, people can remember that one, yes. Celebrity couples. But I wonder, would we ever put Mary and Joseph in that category? And I doubt it very much indeed. Because when we look at celebrity couples, we tend to see people who are in the news, if you like, who are famous. Where there is something about them, if you like. And the media, often the media hype comes about them as well. That's not the case when you look at these two in the Bible of Mary and Joseph. They are humble people. People actually from a backwater location. You know, people didn't go to Nazareth. That wasn't a tourist center. That wasn't the place people would go to. But that's where they came from. They came from that part of the world. And here was a young woman, probably about 16, maybe a bit younger, and a man who was a humble carpenter. They weren't the people who would hit the headlines, would they? But it's so different when it comes to God's perspective. You see, we look at the outward appearance, don't we? But God looks on the heart. And God looked at these two people. And as he looked at these two people, he recognized that these are the ones that he was going to choose to look after his only begotten son, his one and only son. You see, God's ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts and our ways, are they? They are very different. And in fact, his ways are always better and his thoughts are always better than our thoughts are. I was thinking about this, of thinking about looking after a boy, looking after a son. I've got a son, David. And if it came to the crunch, and I was going to think, who will look after him? I'd have to scour around and think, well, who will be the best person to look after him? I'm going to think about it anymore. I wonder how old he is now, but he's well into his adult age, and he's got children of his own. So I'm not going to worry about that anymore. But when he was younger, we had to think about it. What would happen? Who could I get to look after him to make certain he was brought up in the right way? How much more then for God? For God to be looking at the right people to bring up his son, his only begotten son. So what was he looking for? What type of character was he looking at? And I believe he was looking at three things in particular. He was looking at someone who was pure, someone who was holy, if you like, someone who was set apart, someone who loved him, and somebody who worshipped him. And as he looked around, it had to come from obviously a particular tribe, a particular family, had to come from the tribe of David, or the people of David, because that was what the scripture said. And as he looked around, he could see two people that stood out, Mary and Joseph. And yet to everyone around them, that wouldn't have been the thought at all. Because God was looking from his perspective, not from human perspective. I want to think about this morning. You see, perspective is an interesting thing, isn't it? You know, what we think about something may be not quite the same as somebody else thinks about something. I was thinking about it a little bit earlier on. You know, when someone is set in their ways, we think they're obstinate. But when we're like that, we're just firm, aren't we? When somebody says something which is not, if you like, a bit candid, about someone, when they say something about that, they're being spiteful, they're being unkind. When we're doing it, we're being honest, and we're being candid, and we're being frank. You see what I'm getting at? Often we see things from different perspectives. And now this morning, I want to think of the story from the story of Mary and Joseph's perspective. It's a well-known story, isn't it? We all know the story. I was so interested in what Beverly said about each of the aspects of the cribs which are around here. Everyone's looking at a different aspect of it. And it's a different aspect I want to think about, but from the aspect from Mary and Joseph this morning. You know the game Chinese Whispers? You know, somebody whispers in somebody's ear a particular phrase or something, they have to tell somebody else. But when it gets to the end, it's a totally different story, isn't it? It doesn't have any connection whatsoever. And that's the trouble with perspective. We look at it through Mary's perspective and Joseph's perspective, we look at it through the Bible's perspective. What does the Bible say? And we need to look at the perspective properly this morning, because we're living in the days when commercialization is everywhere, isn't it? And as we build it towards Christmas, the Christmas commercialization has got more and more over the years. I find it interesting that in September, they started advertising things for Christmas. I'm not talking about Christmas events, but what you could buy for Christmas. And I thought, that's getting very early, isn't it? It won't be long before it'll be January, won't it? We're ready for the next Christmas, the way things seem to be happening. And unfortunately, I want to tell you this, the Christmas story is often replaced by the Christmas store. We've got to get it right, haven't we? It's the story that matters, not the store. Not saying we shouldn't have anything, but get it right. Get the perspective right here. And look at the story particularly, I said, through Mary and Joseph. And the scriptures that were read to us beautifully this morning by Beverly, thank you very much for that. I think particularly each of the characters in turn, Mary and then Joseph. Often in our circles, we don't talk about Mary very much, do we? And we miss out on a lot of the story behind there. But as you look at the story of Mary, you see someone here who was truly pure, somebody who truly loved God, and somebody who truly worshipped God. She was betrothed to be married. And there she was, I'm sure, quite excited as a young woman, looking forward to a time when she was going to get married to Joseph. Got all her plans in place, probably thinking what will happen on the day and all the rest of it. Yeah, I can remember when Mark and I got married, the plans we put together to make certain it all worked out. And it did work out. But you never know, apart from the weather, it rained. But never mind about that. But we look at the things, we get the plans to try and put things together. And I'm sure Mary was thinking about that. And then all of a sudden, God enters the scene in the form of the angel Gabriel. Gabriel comes and speaks to her. And he says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Can you imagine her reaction? There's this young woman maybe going to get some water, I don't know. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to her and says, "Greetings, you're highly favored, the Lord is with you." I can imagine her reaction, first of all, is, "What? What's going on? You talking to me?" Bewilderment is one thing that comes to my mind. And the other thing that comes to my mind is fear. She's afraid. She's afraid. What's going on? Who is this person who is speaking to me? But then the angel goes on to say this. Gabriel goes on to say this. "You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and you'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow, what a message. What a message to be given to this young, maybe 16-year-old girl who's preparing to get married. God is going to visit her. God's going to give her a child. God's going to give a child, not only any child, but his son. The only begotten son is going to be given to her to look after, to care for. In some respects, you might think that's not a bad thing for her. She's a pure girl. But think of it from her perspective for the moment. Hang on. I live in a society at the moment where this would be totally, not just frowned upon, it seems to be worse. She could actually be put to death. Because here was someone outside of marriage, although she's betrothed, don't forget, she's not married yet. Outside of marriage, and in those days, if someone did something immoral, from a revenge point of view, could be put to death. Even if that didn't happen, there would certainly be sneers, there would certainly be jeers, there would seem like, there'd certainly be all of those things that would be there. And she's thinking to herself, "Wait a moment, I'm going to be cast out of the synagogue here. My family are going to disown me. They're going to think that something's gone wrong, let alone what Joseph might certainly think, and we'll come to that in a short while." And she has to ask a question in her mind, and she was thinking in her mind, what's going on here? And she asked the question, "Well, how will this be? I'm a virgin." She's never been with a man. She's not married. Probably the only kiss she ever had was on the cheek, or she gave a kiss on the cheek to maybe a member of the family. She's not fooled around with anything of that nature. So how could this possibly be? Until God speaks to her again through the through Angel Gabriel. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Can you imagine what she must be thinking at this stage? Wow. Why me? Why me? Why call me? Why of all the people around me, a young woman? But God looked at her heart, and that's what matters. God could see in her heart that she really was one who could not just care for his son, but also be one who would be a worshipper, one who would follow, one who would do the things that God could only do through her. And I wondered about ourselves this morning, but our perspective. Are we ones who are prepared to let God come into our lives and change our plans? You know, we got our plans, haven't we? I'm sure we got our plans for Christmas. But they can change. What about our life plans? Her life plans were in a particular direction, but God came in and changed them. Are we prepared to listen to what God has to say to us, to change our life plans? Because his plan for us is better than our plans for ourselves. In fact, we read this: God has a plan for us to give us a hope and a future. Wow. That's the plan he's got for us. And that was the plan, in a sense, he had for Mary. He gave her a hope and he gave her a future. He knew what was best for her. And despite all her misgivings, and I'm sure there were misgivings there, she actually realizes that this is the right thing to do. She's reassured, first of all, by God. And this reassurance is there because the story goes on to say, well, hang on, not only are you pregnant, but your relative was pregnant as well. And by the way, it's unbelievable. It's an older person, not expected to have a baby, but she's 6 months pregnant. I'm sure she didn't realize Elizabeth was pregnant at the time. But there was this reassurance to say, look, God's in this. And sometimes we need to have that reassurance too, don't we? When God speaks to us, and he's got a plan for us, that God is in this. And it's amazing how God then speaks to us in different ways, to encourage us, to confirm certain things. Interestingly, I had the word perspective in my message for today. When I read to my daily reading this morning, what I read was the word perspective. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you've got something to say then, haven't you, if that's the case. And the perspective here is that we should be looking at things not from our point of view, but from God's point of view. God sits enthroned above the earth. And in a sense, we're like little grasshoppers in many ways, aren't we, in a sense. And if you go to the top of a mountain and you look down at people below there, the little specks, little dots, aren't they? In a way, we could see them like that. Because God can see the big picture, as it would be. He can see everything that's going on. And in a sense there, we need to be reassured now and again. And the reassurance comes here to Mary. But more than that, she believes. She trusts. She accepts what's being said there, because she said these wonderful phrases: I am the Lord's servant. May it be to you as you have said. Later on in Luke, we've got the Magnificat, her prayer, if you like, her song, Mary's song, where she expounds what she feels. But she says, may it be to me as you have said. I believe you. That's what she's saying. I believe you. I believe that that's what's right for me. I wonder, do we believe? First of all, do we believe the story of Christmas? Have we got to the point where we actually accept that what God did was God becoming man and dwelling amongst us to become the saviour of the world? Do we accept that? And if we have accepted that, are we believing day by day to walk in close with him? He wants us to grow closer to him every day. Mary had that experience. And because she had that experience, God blessed her abundantly. We can have the same experience too, as we work close with God day by day. That doesn't mean we won't have any problems. That doesn't mean we'll be exempt from the problems of life, because we're not. Far from it. But God is there. In fact, I love the word Emmanuel. It says this in one version: it's the God who travels with us. I love that. The God who travels with us. And God is traveling here with Mary, giving her the greatest blessing of all, to become the mother of his only begotten son. Her perspective, I'm sure, was shock first of all, but maybe came excitement afterwards. Is this going to happen to me? And I have this great responsibility. But I know that God is with me. I know that God will help me through this. And she rushes off straight away to go to that hill country, that said, to go to Judea, to go to see Elizabeth, her relative, and stays there for 3 months. That's the story of Mary, if you like, perspective there. What do I think of Joseph now, very briefly? I mean, Joseph somehow must have got the message that Mary had gone away. Probably didn't understand why. I probably thought she'd gone away to think about the preparation for the wedding. Put all these things together. But on the other hand, maybe he also got the news as well that Mary's expecting a child. Can you imagine for a moment his thoughts at that point? His thoughts must have been disappointment, disillusionment maybe, maybe even anger. Maybe from his perspective, he could understand this. All his plans were being wrecked, as it would be. Because if he took her home to be his wife, you know, They could be taken out of the synagogue. They could be kicked out of the synagogue. They could be disowned by the family. Even though it might have been the right thing to do from his point of view, he knew the child wasn't his. And that would have been a big difference for him and a big problem for him to overcome. Until we read in Matthew chapter 1, again, God breaks into his life. And God comes to him and speaks to him to reassure him again. You see, here's another man who was pure. Another man who loved God. Another man who worshipped God. Why did it say he was pure? It said he had no union with him. He didn't consummate the marriage. He was pure. The Jewish marriage service, we know before, is in two parts. There's a betrothal and final consummation. You go through the betrothal part of it. And then there's that build-up, if you like, that wait to come through for the actual consummation itself. But something had happened in the meantime, as we know. Mary, Holy Spirit had come upon her. The Spirit of the Most High had overshadowed her, and she became pregnant with the Son of God. And he must have been completely confused about all of this. He must have really wondered what had happened until the angel came to him and spoke to him to reassure him that actually it's okay. It really is okay because God is in this. God's behind all of this. And so you can take her home to be your wife. You can look after. You can be the one who can be alongside her to strengthen her. He's reassured. And the same thing, interesting mirror image actually of Mary. He believes. He trusts. He believes the message that the angel gives to him. Joseph is hardly mentioned in Scripture, is he? We get him here. We get him one or two other places, but very rarely do we see him in Scripture. But there's one thing that's clear, is that God chose him. God chose him because he could see in his heart what was right. I want to say to you this morning, as a believer, God chose you. In John 15, we read this. We didn't choose God, but he chose us. And he chose us to go and bear fruit. And fruit that will last. Wow. The God of the universe. The God who created all things. The God who sent his Son into the world. Chose you. And he chose me. We need to believe that. Need to walk in the truth of that day by day. Get that perspective in our lives that it is God who's called us and God has chosen us and God has said this, I won't let you go. You're mine. You're mine for now and you're mine forever. That is the perspective we should be looking at as we think about these two people, Mary and Joseph, this morning. We're coming towards Christmas and I'm sure we have the plans put together. But God can break into those plans and change them. And change them for the better. And God can not just do that. He can make certain that the path that we tread is a path which is in accordance with him day by day. As we look at Christmas, let's not look at the things that are around it and all the periphery. Let's look at the center of the story. God becoming man and dwelling amongst us. God becoming one like us. To take upon himself our sin. To die upon a cross 30 odd years later. To procure for himself a people unto himself. That we could then walk with him day by day. So here in 2022, we could say that we are now called of God. Chosen of him. And he wants us to reflect that joy, that peace, that hope, that love in this Christmas season to all that are around us. Mary had her mind and heart changed. Joseph, his mind and heart changed as they came into a personal contact with God. May that be true for us this Christmas season. And may our perspective be looking at things from God's point of view, not our point of view. And as a result, bringing him honor and glory and drawing others to him. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for the blessing it is to be in your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the crib competition. We thank you for all the effort that was put in by so many different people. We thank you, Lord, not just for the winners, but for all those participated. And we thank you, Lord, that through that, the story of Christmas was being remembered once again. We thank you, Father, too, for your word that reminds us of two people, Mary and Joseph. Two central characters in the Christmas story. Two unlikely characters, but you chose them. And Father, we're unlikely characters too, and you've chosen us to bear your name and to be your people. Father, help us, we pray, to see things from your point of view, and as a result, to admit and submit to you, to allow you to run and work through our lives, that we might be the conduit, as it would be, to this world of your grace and of your mercy. Father, we thank you for being in this place today. And we just pray, Lord, that what has been said these last few moments may have been an honor to you. If it was not, take it away, we would pray, that only those things yourself might remain, you alone might have that honor and that glory. But we ask you for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit among us all now and forevermore. Amen. Let's bless one another with a grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.